Good day, everyone. Welcome to Sister Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. You listen to your host, Brother Frank Malone, on the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour. Today, we will continue our series called Fatherhood, the Undeniable Gift. Because this is June, it doesn't matter how much we talk about fatherhood, because in our camp, fatherhood is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. That's what's been missing from our families and children. And now we are the fathers who bring it back in strength. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, with the black family, 70%, a lot of single mothers are raising children there. You know, we say to that, we say a father is a father. Let me tell you something. God don't work in numbers. God makes numbers count. So, yes, there are some fathers who've been incarcerated. There are some that have been missing, but we're not counting for that. We're counting for those that are authentic, affirming, and available and in the lives of their children right now. We know through the groups we work with, the Divine Nine, the Made Men, the Fatherhood Coalition, we have fatherhood groups clear across the country. And what are we doing? We're changing the lives of young men and young ladies, giving them the love of a father. And let me tell you why. Because there is a pandemic out there that's killing people. But there's another disease we don't talk about. That disease is called fatherlessness. It's responsible for a lot of the murders because of young men that have gone wayward. It's responsible for the poverty of so many families that don't have men to help to contribute. It's responsible for the large numbers of young men in jail. Did you know 69% of all young men who are incarcerated never knew a father? Today, I have a great star of the fatherhood movement with me. He's my own vice president of the 100 Fathers Incorporated. He's been on television. He's been on the radio. He's been seen at the United States Congress, at the House of Representatives, fighting for what? For fathers and men. I want to introduce you all to Mr. David Smith, Sr. How you doing today, David?
Good afternoon, Frank. It's a pleasure to join you once again, you know, and have this talk about fatherhood. As you said, 365, 24/7, that's what we do as fathers.
That's it. That's the story. I want to let people know who you are first. Let me tell you something about David Smith, Sr. We met about, wow, is that long ago? Geez, man, was it almost 20 years ago? With Mr. David Levy. David Levy was in Alexandria when I started the fatherhood movement that swept this DMV. Came up with Dr. Jeffrey Johnson, and many of us became fatherhood master trainers. And from that work, we trained almost 500 master trainers across the nation. But David Levy had a different take on that. He had the visitation centers that would allow fathers and men who were at odds with their families to be able to visit with, spend time with their children. And he also helped form legislation in the state of Maryland for the fathers decision-making legislation, and we signed laws with the governor of Maryland, me and David together. signing into law certain legislation that would allow us to get fathers the right to see their children. That's David Smith Sr. He's also currently the 2021 Father of the Year for Sisters for Sisters in Prince George's County. And I say that with no small measure of pride, because he's also recognized in many other venues as a man of promise, a man of perseverance, and a man of progress that is working in this fatherhood movement. Welcome to the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour, David.
Hey, I'm great to be here and to add feedback and to just have a conversation for anybody that's listening, you know, that might be a father or might be a soon-to-be father, or maybe they're a divorced father that's going through complications with their children, on how we can, you know, show them that fatherhood is important and that they, you know, need to be seen and need to be heard and need to be recognized for being a father. And so I'm just here to have the conversation again and continue to show the importance of how fatherhood does make a difference in the lives of children and the community.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, you bring another focal lens on fatherhood, because even I represent as a father to my daughter, to my first daughter. I got three daughters. Then my second daughter, I'm a stepfather. To my third daughter, I'm also a different kind of a stepfather, because she was adopted. Then my son. So I'm a grandfather, a uncle, a stepfather. But it's also just one man giving love to my children and family and providing for them that they might be able to have the advice and the balance of a man and a woman in their life. And so you bring a good point. So many calls we get, you know, we represent folks, the 100 Fathers Incorporated. We're at www.100fathers.org. And we get so many calls. We do so many things in so many areas to help fathers to get back into the lives of their children. And so let's get to it. First, I want to ask you, what to you does fatherhood mean, David Smith Sr.?
So, you know, fatherhood is an opportunity for me to love and serve the people that are fathers and trust in bringing into, you know, the children in the world. It has a broad scope of things. And so it's kindness, you know, loving, caring, you know, being a part of a group, a brotherhood, you know, of other fathers, you know, it's everything. I mean, you know, and, you know, I don't take it lightly. I think, you know, fatherhood is something that we should be proud of. We should stand strong on and represent the same way our loving mothers represent for motherhood. And I think, you know, fathers have to take that stance and be proud to be a part of, you know, this distinguished group of, you know, fathers making a difference, you know, for their children and their families.
You know, I had a conversation with people don't know this, but I am the Hall of Fame community leader for the city of Washington, D.C. 2020. My name is going to be inscribed on the Walk of Fame, but that's not why I do this work. I also represent here with the Made Man, an organization looking to bring men who are evolving to a level of involvement in their cities, families, and communities. We're located in 17 cities. Then still, I represent with the Omega Psi Phi fraternity, advising their fatherhood movement with 750 chapters all over the world. Then more. We represent together with David Smith, the DMV Fatherhood Coalition, which includes Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. So I want people to get a scope on who we are and what it is we do. One of the things that we have seen, I had a conversation with a community leader, and he was saying, well, you can't say that there's other people out here not doing fatherhood the way it should be. And here's our take. You know, you can't give what you don't have. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't make up fatherhood. You can't just come up with some program and say, this is what it is. It tells me in my Bible, you have to study to show yourself approved. And we are well studied. We have one of the most powerful curriculums that was ever developed by Dr. Jeff Johnson. And what I'm saying is, we've seen the fruits of our labor. We've been in Oxon Hill with Curtis Valentine. We've been in D.C. We've been in Phelps High School, Woodson High School, Ballou High School. And what happened? Those young men loved us because they loved an opportunity to see a man so they could be a man. They have to be led by example. I want to give you some stats. Did you know that black youth represent 60% of the 68% of all incarcerated youth? That's too much. But the stats say that most of the incarcerated youth never knew a father, never had a father's love or his guidance and discipline. I want to talk about that. David, now you've been out here. You do suicide prevention. I want to tell y'all a story about David Smith. He and I have a friend who is a member of our organization who got in trouble with his wife. His wife was not honorable. She was not doing what she was supposed to do. But when she confessed to him that she was seeing other men, he punched the wall. He didn't touch her. And he tried to run out of the house. When he did that, she called the police and accused him of domestic violence. You remember that, David?
I do remember that, and that's the, you know, the thing that people use to, you know, gain leverage a lot of times. So, you know,
yep.
And I like how you mentioned about, and I don't mean to cut you off, but about when you were talking about the youth and incarceration, you know, because in suicide, because we know that, you know, suicide amongst youth and fathers, mostly fathers, is higher when there's a divorce rate. So, you know, we see that, you know, that children and fathers tend to, you know, fall in that range and when it comes to suicide when there's divorce or when there's a missing parent, you know, from the situation, a lot of times suicide is a result of, you know, divorce.
You know, we had a talk about that. I want to get back to this story first, and then I'm going to lead up to our program, our agenda, and what we know has to happen to help fathers. Not this stuff they're putting out there, but the real deal. You know, the visitation center, the father's house, the place where men can come to and get encouragement, learn to parent, be led by other men. Where is that program? Where is that money? It pretty much doesn't exist. It doesn't really actually exist as we need it to, but we're going to fight to get it. But we had a young man, getting back to the story, who ended up in court. He went turned himself in on a weekend, a long weekend. Anybody ever been locked up? No, you don't ever turn yourself in when it's a holiday on that Monday because you're not going anywhere till after that holiday. Nevertheless, when he did get out, we met him. He called us. We met him in court with one of our lawyers. Now, what I want to tell you folks, the prosecutor said, young man, we are going to have to lock you up for 12 years for assault and battery, for breaking the law for all the things that you have done. But we're going to give you a break, and we're going to let you serve out a term of probation. So David and I conferred with the lawyer, and we said, wait a minute. They don't have any evidence that he did any of that, except some hearsay evidence from the mother. And so we approached them about it. We said, well, where's the evidence? Guess what, folks? They didn't have any evidence. This is what happens to young fathers in court. And so we said, no, we're not going with that. We will let him get a counseling session to see if he has an anger problem. And if he does, he'll get anger management. And guess what? He got that sentence. And I think, David, because the judge saw you and me standing in court in our suits, backing up this great young man, and he saw something in what was going on here. And then when the prosecutor didn't have any evidence, they would have locked him up. But what happened was, because we were there, because we were involved, he got to go see a counselor. The counselor said he didn't have a problem. That was the end of the case. Isn't that the truth, David?
That is the truth. And I think that the support, being able to, you know, show that there is support there and that we can speak on the, you know, in, you know, the reputation of that young man and see the evidence that we see that the prosecutor clearly did not have. And a lot of times, sadly, they're used to seeing men walk into court alone and not supported. So what happens is they just tend to look at them all the same and give them the same old runaround. And so, you know, like they say, if you don't speak up, then you're going to get what you get. So it's always good to speak up because you might get something that you want, you know, so you don't
but
know
you know they,
ask.
Yeah, and then here's the other piece. There are really no strong programs to help young fathers who find themselves in this situation, which is why you and I have are ready to bring with our judges from the D.C. Courts, the fathering court. We want to bring the fathering court to Maryland and Virginia. Why do you have to lock up a person when you can put counseling and services in to help them to find a job, to help them to be a better father? Why would we spend money to lock them up and make them pay the system for some skills they will never get? And so our fight on this radio show is to call out the state of Maryland, to call out all of the representatives who are fathers and men, to say stop locking up our men recklessly and needlessly and put in the fathering court. You want to speak on that?
I agree 100%. I think we need to, you know, find ways to put better legislation and policies forward that will give services and support and funding to men and fathers. As we know, when it comes to resources and services, men get less resources. I mean, it's just a fact. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, men are trying to do great things for their families and themselves, but if they can't help themselves, then they're not going to be able to help their families, which, you know, and that's employment, that's mental health, that's housing, that's, you know, whether it's therapy or, you know, whatever. You know, we got to find a way to hold these legislators and these people in high officials from the federal to the state to the local,
yeah,
putting good policies and legislation in place that ultimately looks at family, but also fathers in the family, you know, because, you know, some fathers are not married, some are separated, but they still have a family. So
right.
there are things that need to be put in place that provides them the support and resources and funding, like, you know, to get people back on track. That usually a lot of times the fathers that get the resources are usually incarcerated fathers because of incarceration and reentry, which are great. We want to help them too. But there needs to be a general pool for fathers with different needs that they can go and get assistance and help for.
Hold that thought. Right now, I'm going to take a small break. We're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to bring our solutions that we know work that need to be funded under this new administration. But for now, we're going to pay some bills, and we're going to come back on the other side. This is Frank Malone with the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour on Near 2X Radio, the voice of the people.
Hello. Imagine trying to put a puzzle together with missing pieces or pieces from another puzzle that won't fit. It can be frustrating and time-consuming. Well, this is symbolic of what a grieving relative or friend feels when a person dies. Where do I start? My book, It's Not About Me, It's About Them, is very personal, easy to read, and challenges your thoughts with an internal conversation. Our process shows you how to put everything in place. Your wishes are represented after your death. Avoid them having to make difficult decisions. Don't leave your loved ones in debt. You can purchase this book on my website, handleyourbusiness.cc. Think about becoming an organ donor. Prepare. We can prepare your important documents, last will and testament, your medical directives, and so much more. Give us a call on 202-526-7011 and ask for a consultation. We would love to help you. Now, back to the show.
Thank you so much. This is Frank Malone with the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour, talking to David Smith Sr., the Vice President of the 100 Fathers Incorporated, the ordinary men who are doing extraordinary things. And we are now on a movement to change how things are done after this pandemic. After we've had a chance to stop and think, why are we locking fathers up who want to see their children, who can't afford to pay their child support? This is just madness. There was a court in the District of Columbia called the Fathering Court. Our former chairman, Judge Arthur Burnett Sr., working with Judge Lee and some other judges, put this court together, took men who had been incarcerated, trained them with our curriculum. You know, we're certified master fatherhood trainers. Let me tell you about that. They tried to use other curriculums, but they ended up having to come to the 100 Fathers to get the curriculum we use because it was transformative. We had what we needed to change how a person thinks and thereby change how they act. And that's what we're talking about, helping these men to see the value of being a part of their family, getting them resources, helping them to get jobs, helping them to get counseling. Like David said, mental health, whatever they need. Why not? Why not, David?
Yeah, it shouldn't be why not. It should be why haven't they done it? And I mean, you know, and it's pretty much the same. You know, it's like we have got to ask for it. And I think a lot of times we find men don't know how to ask for what they need, or they feel like they're less of a man if they ask for help. And I've made it very clear that if you want something, you have to ask for it, and sometimes you just have to go out there and take it, like legally, not nothing illegal, but
right.
Take what you think you believe in, and be present at these meetings when these stakeholders are making decisions, like elected officials. Be there and be present, and don't just give negative, give solutions, like and provide. Provide them with a framework of what you're trying to do, because, not to knock a lot of our leaders, but a lot of them don't know. They don't relate. There's only a few out there that really relate to some of the issues, and so you have to present them with the issues, with the problems, but also the solutions, and then give them the plan. So, I mean, they're the ones that can, put laws, legislation and policies into place to become law. So you have to, know what you want and then go ask for it and be present at these meetings so that they know what the problems are. If a community doesn't speak up about trash or whatever in their community, nobody's going to know until they come to that community and then they find that there's trash there.
That's absolutely right. Somebody has got to advocate. That's why they call you the warrior advocate. And that's why the 100 fathers are known for, listen, let me tell you something. The Commission for Fathers, Men, and Boys that exists in D.C. and the commission in D.C. exists because we stood up and said, you got to have one. I had met with one of our political leaders named Marion Barry. And he saw me one day. I said, Marion, we need to get this legislation in. I had talked to other legislators, but they weren't as interested in the problems in the community of the father. Do you know he pushed this legislation through? And now we have the Commission for Fathers, Men, and Boys. Furthermore, David, you were with me in Prince George's County with County Council Member Mel Franklin. And we lobbied for the Commission for Fathers, Men, and Boys in Prince George's County. Did we not?
We did, and gave them a framework that what we put forth in the district. And I think that's where you said about advocating for the needs, and we knew how strong we needed this, and we found a great representative and council member, Mel Franklin, who is a father, who sees these disparities that fathers face, but also sees good fathers that are doing things, because a lot of times we look at some of the negative things that fathers are impact from, but we also have good fathers that are bringing great things to the table. So we have to use those as a collaborative, to help, everybody in that fatherhood and male, group. And so Mel Franklin saw it, he listened, and Frank and I and Judge Burnett were the only three individuals that testified at that Fathers, Men, and Boys Council hearing. Three men and fathers.
Right.
When we have a county that has over a million, we are the only three, and two of them are from the District of Columbia. I was the only Prince George's County in Maryland, but this goes to show that you don't have to reside in that state to go represent and make a difference in other states, because we are doing this fatherhood work across the globe. Like Frank will tell you, we're working with some stuff out in Colorado, or, Utah, and we got stuff in New York and stuff in
California.
Atlanta.
Yes.
California. So this is a global movement, and you need to be able to advocate for those that need that support, and that's how you do. You educate, you legislate, and you advocate, and that's how you get things done.
So we're talking about civic engagement, crisis safety, neighbors helping neighbors, no reject policies, long-term connection to community supports, strength-based approach. We're talking about cultural competency, access to work, individualized services, family focus, youth and family voice, choice, and ownership. That we're bringing something new that perhaps the citizens have not yet heard of, but it's coming. Because, David, I'm calling you out, and I'm calling myself out. We're going to call this meeting, and we're going to bring this fathering court to Prince George's County. Because there is no way that we could ever not reach out to our children. The fatherhood movement, it's not really just about the men. It's about the children. When a father takes time with a child, he can change that child's life, their grades, their attitude. That's the difference between these guys out here in our community right now who are angry, who are using guns, who are shooting. We can change that with love, connection, engagement, enlightenment, and bring a different kind of empowerment. It's written that idle mind is the workshop of the devil. We've got to have services, supports, and opportunities, ladies and gentlemen, so that we can change the paradigm for our families and children. Isn't that the story, David?
That's the story, and we're going to write it, and we're going to tell it, and we're going to, you know, get people on board because, you know, you're right. There are so many people hurting, you know, prior to the pandemic. But now, you know, the pandemic just, if you were hurting before the pandemic, then you're in a new type of hurt right now. And so people are feeling hopeless. We have to be able to give hope. We got to be able to help people. We got to be able to heal people. And I think, you know, we can do that, yes, with God's love and everything, but we need funding. We need programs. We need the resources. And we need people to stop talking but actually put an action to things so that these families and these fathers have what they need.
You know, a guy came to my office that I do my a lot of my Zooms and my radio show from, and I have so many awards I don't have room to put them. But what God wants us to get is some rewards for this work, so that we can put people to work, change people's minds, influence the lives of other fathers, so that they can help their families. That's what God wants. And that's why we still have breath in our bodies. We need to be the ones. I want us to fight, David, for fathering court in Prince George's County and in Virginia, and also for a father's visitation center. We're calling it the 100 Fathers Father's House, a place where men can come and get counseling, receive help, get jobs, learn how to be a better daddy. Just because you made a baby don't mean you know how to raise a baby. That's the stuff that we teach. Fatherhood can't be taught. It has to be taught. I just want to say this. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say, I agree. And I think, you know, we have to have that fathery, the father's house or something like a Toby Center or conjunction. I mean, because like you and Mr. Levy, you know, you all saw the importance of this years ago. And it was very, very helpful back then. But as, you know, we move now, we don't see these, you know, the father's house or these Toby Centers or resource center. I mean, these like we used to. And I think we have to really, you know, educate some of the, you know, individuals that are in the decision making that, you know, this works. You just have to fund it and put it in place.
You know, I'm getting ready to go into another break. But before I do, I want to say this. I have long had this conversation with child support. They say, well, we get the men's money, and we also going to put them in a fatherhood program. And we said, no, we need to do the fatherhood program. How are you going to teach them about a fatherhood program? That's not what you do. You've been locking them up, chasing their money, chasing their checks. Why not use a neutral third party, fund them to train these men, to be an advocate for them, and to work to try to neutralize the anger in the family so that they can love their children and learn that their wife is a gatekeeper and must be respected because she has your children. Right about now, I'm going to take a brief break. I'm going to come back on the other side. This is Nia 2X Radio, and it is the voice of the people. You got your host, Frank Malone, on the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour, coming to you strong and trying to put some information out there that's going to change the paradigm for our children and families. But right now, we're going to take a break and come back on the other side. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Liz Johnson. I'm the executive director of the nonprofit Strategic Housing Solutions. And also, I am the housing chairperson for the NAACP in Prince George's County, but I'm not here in that capacity today. But I'm here to just let you all know, in case you don't, that on July the 1st, the current government moratorium on foreclosures will be lifted. Now, hundreds of homeowners will once again find themselves worried about the roof over their heads. Some of the banks might demand all the back payments in a lump sum. So if you don't have a federally backed loan, that's a loan from the VA, FHA, Fannie Mae, you may be in jeopardy of your home being foreclosed on. That's coming on July the 1st. And I cannot urge you strongly enough to contact us at Strategic Housing Solutions so that maybe we can help you. Our number is 301-291-5480. Once again, that's 301-291-5480. Or you might just send us an email if that's more convenient for you with your contact information, and our email address is Strategic Housing Solutions, INC.org. And that's all one word, Strategic Housing Solutions, INC.org. And tell us all about your problems and maybe we can help you. Also, there's also something I want to share with you. I hope you will take the time to watch a very exciting docuseries on YouTube. It's called The Con, C-O-N, The Con, We Were All Told a Lie. It's an exciting piece of investigative reporting that will tell you how thousands of homes were stolen by Wall Street, maybe even yours, after that 2008 financial meltdown. So please, take some time. Watch The Con. We Were All Sold a Lie. It's on YouTube. Look forward to hearing from you.
What a powerful message. This is Frank Malone with the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour. But that Linda Thomas who's just speaking, that is a powerful force for good in Prince George's County, a light shining in the darkness to bring understanding and information to the people. I really hope y'all go on that website and save yourselves. You know, it is written, say, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. I want to make sure the people of God protect themselves from the lies that have prevailed for so many years. We have to live in truth. My Bible tells me, hate evil, love wisdom. And so that's what we want to do here. That's why you're on Sister Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. She's bringing the wisdom and she's bringing it strong. And I'm just honored to be a part of this radio network. Now, I have my guest, Mr. David Smith, Sr., Vice President of the 100 Fathers. He also heads up the Children's Rights Council. He's a very, very strategic warrior. He's a warrior advocate. We have passed legislation in D.C. and Maryland. We're looking to do some things statewide. We are trying to change the face of the family and add the father in where he belongs. And David, one thing you were talking about, the look that has been given to fathers. I want to speak on that because the media has not given us our due. We have to speak up, stand up, and show up. We have to walk right, talk right, and act right as real men of God. That's what has to happen because the other side of us is what's on TV, the ones who haven't been told, the ones who are not woke, the walking dead. Those are the ones that they put on TV and the media. But we're the men of faith who are undeniable in our quest to be with our families and children. And I'm honored to have Mr. David Smith here today to speak to you on some of the initiatives that we're going to work on starting today to make a difference in the lives of our children. Now, let's talk about that Tobey Center. We had a conversation in Florida with one of your contacts, and I want you to let people know what we're talking about when we say the Tobey Center. What would that do for fathers and children, David?
So Dr. Mark Roseman is the founder of the Tobey Center, and he is also a prodigy of the late David L. Levy with the Children's Rights Council. They helped and led the supervised visitation centers that were across Maryland, I want to say back in the 80s and 90s. And so Mark, when he went through, you know, a trying time with his child being alienated from him and everything due to divorce, he had to figure out how can I, you know, make this better for others so that they don't go through this experience. And so Mark developed the Tobey Center. He has 5 centers in the state of Florida. However, he's looking to expand them. And these Tobey Centers are visitation centers, but they're also education and training resource centers where not just dads, but families, you know, if you need mental health support, if you need job training, if you need parenting, you know, fathering, you know, advice, they have council sessions, they have workshops, and all that good stuff. And yes, I think their audience is probably geared to fathers, but it is open. It's called the Tobey Center Transition Center. And so it's to help families, you know, that are either, you know, co-parenting or, you know, or just need support. And like I said, the key is the education and training part, you know, being able to educate, since we're talking about fathers, since being able to educate and train them, because we all know there's no manual when you have a child. You know, they give you these little pamphlets and say, you know, this is what you got to do, this is what you got to do. But that doesn't work for everybody, especially if you grown up without a father or grown up without a parent. You know, you sometimes have to figure it out on your own, and, you know, and not everybody's method works. So it's always good to be able to have educated and trained experts that know how to give you some type of tool so that you can, you know, use it to build your house for your family and relationship.
You know, that's great information. So we're looking to pick up a cool million. We need to raise $1 million to put that center in place. We need one in Prince George's County. We need one in D.C. The same money we're talking about is the same money they're using to lock people up. That's the same money. And instead of spending that money on incarceration, why don't we spend it on graduation into family knowledge, family counseling, family issues, family focus? That's what we need. And we're tired of doing the same old things that happened with Jim Crow. It's time for us to supersede and exceed expectations. And David, anything can happen. I hope somebody hears our plea, because we definitely have a solution. All we need is a resolution and somebody to come through with some sustainability. We're talking about a sustained community program that can make a difference right now. You know, too many calls have we answered of fathers who can't see their children, who get kept from their visitation, who don't get a chance to spend time with their daughters and sons. It's a terrible thing. Let me tell you my story. When my daughter was born, I'm not going to say I was the greatest father from the beginning. I had to grow into who I am. But certainly when I came home that day and opened up the door and heard an echo and my little four-month-old baby was gone, I was in shock. And fathers are too when they can't see their children. And, you know, it took me some time, but I got together, got an attorney, found out that my first wife had left and gone to another state. And I had to file an injunction to get my child back so that I could visit with my daughter. Yep, that happened to me. So you can't tell me that I don't understand how these fathers feel when it comes time for them to spend time with their children. Now, yes, we have to respect that mother, but we also need time with our children. What do you think about that, David?
No, I totally agree. And as someone that's also been through the trials and tribulations, you know, of knowing that you've had a child taken from you when you've been raising them all their life since they were born, to have them taken, and then you have to execute to fight for them just to be a presence in their lives, and then the system, you know, doesn't see that as, you know, rewarding that men and fathers are standing up for their kids, it is tough. And so I can see how many, you know, fathers would step away from it and just give up, which I try to, you know, always be a helping hand of hope for them, because believe me, as Frank can probably tell you too, it's not an easy road. And the trauma that it puts on the father, the trauma that it puts on the children, it sometimes, you know, people are like, it's just easier to walk away. Well, you know what? That trauma will still be there, and you will still deal with whether you know, and walking away is not going to make it any better.
Yeah. You know, and this is our time. Here's what we're good at, David. We passed legislation before. We've been to the state of Virginia. When I was in the state of Virginia, I was at the Family Resource Learning Center. We had gotten funding from Harris Teeter's and McDonald's. We were growing. The judge called us and said, listen, we heard that you fathers have a center up there where the children have exceeded expectation with their SOL. How did you do that? We said it was the love that we gave and the encouragement we gave these fatherless children. They said, well, listen, we have a whole lot of men down here we've been locking up. We don't want to lock them up. Can you put a program together to help these fathers in their quest to deal with their child support, to deal with their visitation, so that we don't have to lock them up? That's how it all started. That's where I met David Levy. David Levy was this man who had a center where fathers could go and get an opportunity to spend just a few moments with their children. And I'm telling you, it can make a difference. And David, I'm calling you out. We got to unite again. We got to call these churches, call these community organizations together. I'm going to call out the National Action Network. I'm going to call them out, because we need to get in this fight to put together not only a fathering court, but a family place, father's house where men and young men can have an opportunity to change the paradigm for their children with love, connection, engagement, and enlightenment, taught by real men and strong sisters. That's what has to happen. Let's do it. I need a pledge from you. You're going to help me with this fight.
You know, I'm always in the fight for this, and I think you nailed it. We have to be preventative. We have to be able to prevent things from happening, because we can save more people and more fathers and families if they know that they have something that they can go to before they have to get into, like, say, a custody fight, or say they have to get into other whatever's that they're going through. Having that preventative support and services is so important to development. And so, you know, because once they're already in the tragic, it's a lot harder to fix things sometimes. We can fix it, you know, but it's a lot easier when you can prevent it. And having these preventative solutions like a fathering house and a fathering court. You know, if a man knew that, hey, I could go here and get this help, and that's going to help me to just, you know, not have to take this that way, and I can go this way, and it'll be better for me and my family, then I think they would make those decisions. But when they don't have a decision to make, and a decision is thrown at them, and then we have to fix the decisions, it's a lot, you know. So I'm
it's
all for this,
right? And that's the mistake they're making right now. They got money out here to stop the shooting, but let me tell you something: the shooting only occurs with the decision of the person holding the gun. We advocate prevention, intervention, and innovation. You can prevent that gun from being shot by dealing with the mindset of that individual or other individuals that might be influenced by that individual. It's called prevention. You got to put money in prevention and then go to intervene where people have already crossed the line to bring them back. To summarize it, it's called hurt people. But what we're trying to bring a concept of is healed people can heal people. Come on. That's
Amen.
What we're talking about. And it makes sense. It only makes sense, but people haven't thought about that. They want to go to the all way to the other line. You got to start at the beginning. Let's get up in those schools. Let's try to develop our own police force within, train our young men in our own communities to be the police. How about that? Where is that school? Huh? Where is that school? Train our leaders. It says in my Bible, train up a child in the way that they would go, and they would never depart from it. But if you don't train them, you got a long way to go to catch up to them once they get out the gate. You know what I'm saying? Like those cows I heard about that escaped from the meat factory, and the gate was open, and they ran out, and it was a lot of accidents. They was trying to get up out of there. But the point is that we have to train them and take them through the straight gate the right way. And that means men who are walking right, talking right, acting right, and leading by example. We're out here. But we don't want to be your last choice. We should be the first choice. We should be the first ones that they come to, not the last ones. And that's who we are. We are the 100 Fathers. This is Frank Malone on the Father's Next Level Empowerment Hour with David Smith Sr., the Vice President of the 100 Fathers. We're coming to you on Near 2X Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the voice of the people. You're getting it straight, you're getting it right, and you're getting the truth. And the truth is the only thing that's going to set us free. You tried all of the rest. Now it's time to go with the best. And the best are trained fathers and men who are willing to work with our sisters who are woke. Sisters like Carolyn Wright, sisters like Black Women for Positive Change, sisters who understand, sisters like Sister Nia 2X who understand. Like, let me tell you something. The power comes when the father and the mother work together. A house divided amongst itself will not stand. And so we're talking only what's in the holy books, what God has said we need to do as a people to work together. So I'm calling out to the men of faith right now. I've just been asked to sit on the board, David, with the Brotherhood of St. Andrew, which is an international men's ministry that I used to be the vice president of, about prayer, study, and service. And my next meeting with them, I'm going to ask them to back us on bringing these fatherhood centers, on bringing the fathering court to jurisdictions not only in this region but around the nation. It's time for some common sense programs, supports, and opportunities for fathers and men. You know why? Because of the children. That's why we do this work. Do you have any closing comments that you wanted to make, David, at this time? We're coming up on the hour. I knew it wouldn't be enough time for you and me.
Well, I know our time, we can always go. And since I know we're coming up on the time, I just want to thank you for the opportunity and always being so dedicated and passionate to this work, because that's the key, dedication and passion. We need people. You don't have to have a BHD degree or anything like that. You just need to be dedicated and passionate to this work and being able to truly care about, you know, family and children. You know, the Children's Rights motto is serving children first, supporting family always, and that's what we're about. And, you know, I always, you know, I came up with something, you know, a while back. It's called a VIP status. And that VIP stands for values, integrity, and purpose. And that is the VIP status that I follow. Not the very important person, because we all know that we're important to our children. But being able to bring value, integrity, and purpose, you can't lose with that. And so I think I truly give Frank the VIP status, you know, because we are here, we are seen, and we are heard, and we are just truly about dedication and passion to this work. And I thank you, brother. I love you, and I'm glad to be on this platform with you. And I thank Nina 2X for having us here all the time and the support that she brings. You know, this is what family and community building is about.
Let me say this. You know, I was at Union Temple Church on Father's Day with 100 men of faith, standing in honor of the fathers of the year. And let me tell you something, David. Some of them were saying something about me. It's not me. It's God in me that gets this done. And it's not me at all, because we represent thousands of men. We represent thousands of good fathers. And we have to do our work because we're impassioned. You can't do this work with running like a hot and cold faucet. Your faucet always has to be running hot. You got to bring the heat so that we can make the change that's going to help our children and families to the next level. This is Frank Malone. I'm really honored to have Mr. David Smith Sr., the Children's Rights Foundation, and also one of my esteemed vice presidents of the 100 Fathers. Go online and check us out, www.100fathers.org. The Ordinary Men Doing Extraordinary Things. Coming to you on Nia 2X Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the voice of the people. Frank Malone, thanking you for listening to us and for giving us an opportunity to change your mind and change the minds of those who need information that will change everything. The truth. Frank Malone signing off. Thank you so much.